Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe's cabinet has signed off on a 1.4% increase in defense spending for the year starting from April 1, 2017. Once approved by the Japanese parliament, the increase will be Japan's fifth straight annual boost in defense spending. According to Reuters, Japan's self-defense forces are pivoting away from guarding the country's north to reinforce an island chain along the southern edge of the East China Sea. Reuters also said that the SDF is moving away from tank divisions towards building a mobile force equipped with hardware such as tilt, rotor, Osprey carriers, ships, amphibious vehicles, and mobile missile batteries. For more on this, we're joined by Franz Stefan Gady. He is an associate editor with The Diplomat. He's also a senior fellow with the East-West Institute. Now, Mr. Gady, could you explain to us in layman's terms what the military hardware mentioned in the Reuters article are designed for?
So, the goal of the Japanese government is to turn the Japanese military into a more agile, more rapidly deployable force, what the Ministry of Defense has called a dynamic joint defense force. Now, all the items that you mentioned are essential for amphibious warfare, that is, for defending or assaulting islands. And as you also mentioned, the Japanese army is pivoting towards the islands to the southwest of the main islands of Japan in order to contain, in the event of a conflict, the Chinese People's Liberation Army Navy along those islands.
Now, could you also give us an assessment of the capabilities of the SDF, you know, vis-a-vis regional militaries, especially that of China?
That's always, of course, difficult because the Japanese self-defense force has not been involved in a war, in a major conflict for over seven decades now, as has the People's Liberation Army for over 40 years. So it is very, very difficult to really assess the combat capabilities. But overall, the Japanese ground self-defense force and all the other service branches are generally highly trained. They have superb capabilities in certain very specific technical categories, such as anti-submarine warfare. They're very closely training with their counterparts in the United States. And the United States is also supporting the Japanese ground self-defense forces in helping them stand up amphibious rapid deployment brigades. These units are really, really meant to conduct amphibious warfare operations in the East China Sea.
Let's talk now about Japan's boosted military spending. What are the broader implications of this for East and Southeast Asia?
So, as you said earlier, it is right that the Japanese defense budget has increased over the last couple of years, but it still only constitutes 5% of overall government expenditure and less than 1% of Japan's gross domestic product. It's relatively small in comparison to China or a couple of the other neighbors in the region. So I don't think it will have any large implications, the defense budget per se. But I would just like to draw the attention to something that I guess was sort of lost when they revealed the budget yesterday. But a major hike has occurred in the budget of the Japan Coast Guard, which is technically a civilian agency. And I think this is much more important to keep in mind because we're not likely to see a high-intensity war between China and Japan or Japan and some of its other neighbors in the foreseeable future. But what we will see are so-called gray zone coercion scenarios involving, for example, the China Coast Guard and Japan Coast Guard, where both sides are harassing each other in the East China Sea while avoiding open military conflict. And this budget has increased from 2016 to the next fiscal year from I think it was 180 billion yen to over 210 billion, which is a substantial increase because the Japan Coast Guard has not seen an increase in its budget for over a decade now. So I think this is going to send a clear message to China about how concerned Japan is in the East China Sea.